We're going to go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. We're going to have John Hendricks, a lead writer for Sports Illustrated and also for Boot Crew Media. John, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. You got to see the OTAs like us. And I think the one thing I come out of the OTAs with is that you're better off today in the pitch and catch part of the game than you were a year ago at this time.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, you look at the Saints wide receiver room and just a pleasant surprise of seeing Michael Thomas out there in some form or capacity was really encouraging. But, I mean, look, you look at the confidence that guys like Chris Olave are playing with or Rashid Shaheed, and look, it doesn't stop at the wide receiver group. I mean, you look at Juwan Johnson and the confidence he's playing with. You see in some emergence from Lucas Kroll. And, look, you add that in with some of the guys they brought in, you know, like James Washington or Brian Edwards or, you know, even a guy like Tre'Quan Smith had a really incredible, you know, showing yesterday. So, look, there's reasons to be optimistic about it. And again, it's OTA, so you take some of that, I guess, with a grain of salt. But, man, you look at – you're far off from where this team was last year when you had, you know, like – in the year before when he had Kenny Stills or Kevin White or other guys like that. The guys just couldn't get it done.
Now, John, what is your take? Because I think we could build upon this, but obviously you got to stay healthy and you have to play. When I look at our secondary, I think this could potentially on paper. Now, we entered the season feeling pretty good about the secondary, to say the least. Look at the Saints finished second, number two in the NFL in pass defense. Now, can we intercept more balls? Because we struggled to intercept passes or even recovering fumbles. Only the Raiders had fewer takeaways than the Saints at 14. In fact, I brought this up, that turnover total was the franchise record low and just having seven interceptions. But I just look at that. I don't know how that number cannot grow when you consider, you know, whether you're looking at Alante Taylor or Paulson Adebo starting outside of opposite, I should say, of Marshawn Lattimore. Then you got Tyrann Mathieu, and you got Marcus May. When you look at it, of that group, only Honey Badger played all 17 games. So what is your take? Because I think, obviously, the best pass coverage is a pass rush, but I kind of like where we're at on the back end. Now, we haven't all seen them because who's at the OTAs that we're witnessing. But on paper, it sure looks good.
Yeah, look, Bobby, you touched on something that I was going to bring up, and I think it starts with the pass rush. And I think when you look at, you know, this team losing David Onyemata and obviously Shai Tuttle and such, and even a guy like Kentavious Street who had some sacks for you, look, I think they upgraded there. And I think guys like you bring in Colin Saunders, who is like a Shai Tuttle but had a better grade in his pass rush and his win percentage. You have guys like Nathan Shepherd, same type of mold, I guess if you could say, for like David Onyemata, but again, he has a better pass rush win and rate according to Pro Football Focus, actually top 10. So I feel good about that with Brian Brisset in there just to create some pressure. I feel like it's got to start with the guys up front. It's got to get some more pressure because the Saints, I mean, you look at last year, they had 13 and a half sacks that came from their linebacking group, which is excellent.
Right.
And don't want to, you know, take away from DeMario or Caden Ellis what they did. But I think a lot of that work needs to start in the trenches, and it'll make plays easier for guys in the secondary when you have a talented secondary just to be able to get more balls, get more turnovers if you can affect the quarterback like that.
John, I think one of the things, it bothered me last year, this time it bothers me today, offensive line. I think that's the biggest question mark on this football team. Today, you've spent so much money and so many early round picks on offensive linemen. A first round pick on Trevor Penning, a first round pick on Ryan Ramczyk, who's been a really good player, but last year he wasn't maybe up to the Ramczyk we had seen in the past. Andrus Pete, first round pick guy, but he's hurt all the time. Cesar Ruiz, he was serviceable last year. I mean, people were, unbelievable. Because I think he was not good before, and he played a little bit better. And then you have Eric McCoy, who was a second-round pick, but you gave up a first to get him. That, for me, we're not seeing any of those guys other than McCoy at the OTAs. But Trevor's had problems with injuries. Hurst, you know, is sort of a journeyman guy that can play tackle and guard. You're going to have injuries. It's the most injured spot on any team, college or pro football offensive line. John, I feel the same way I did last year as I feel today.
Amen.
I don't know anything about this offensive line. And can you get a running game going when you need to and have to?
Well, and John, like Mike was saying, do you think we can have any more bad luck? It seems like we've had bad luck with injuries. And so we got kind of two strikes. And, you know, we started 10 different offensive linemen last year. Now, it'd be all right if you had like six or seven, but that's a big number. You go from six to 10.
So now we're watching in OTAs Storm, Norton, Calvin Throckmeyer, Young at tackle.
That's all backups.
Eventually, some of those guys are going to have to play, and some are going to have to start for you. For me, that's the biggest question mark across the board for this team.
Yeah, I feel that way, too. If you look at the offense, I feel great about the skill position. I feel great about the running back group. I feel good about the quarterback spot, tight end room, all those things. For me, yes. I think, can they protect Derek Carr like they feel they can, and can they be dominant and consistent in the offensive, you know, in the run attack, if you will. And I think that's the biggest thing is I'm looking for is consistency. And, look, you don't hit on it. They've had injury problems. I mean, the past 2 years, even going back to COVID and all this stuff, and then injuries last year, I mean, they've had some really bad luck. I mean, it's not anything that has to do with, I guess you could say, training aspect or anything like that. But, look, for me, you know, you better have some really solid options. And look, I think there's some credit due to Doug Marrone for getting guys ready to play, but you want to have your full complement of offensive line. And, you know, to be sitting here and saying, well, you know, Andre Speed's going to be good until he's not. I mean, that's you know, this is a guy who's never played a full season of football, right? And so we're putting our faith, hope, and trust in that. And you just have to have good depth behind him, which, I mean, you have serviceable depth, but is it the same as having a starter, a guy like a Jari Evans that was there and always knew what you could count on him to do the work? Or even when they had guys like Ben Grubbs in the mix, or, you know, you just knew that was a spot you didn't have to worry about.
Max Unger.
Unger was another one. But right now, the only one you say you don't have to worry about is center. Outside of that, anything's up for grabs.
You know, John, what do you think? I think from the get-go, can we please, when we end September, we're on the plus side in the turnover margin. I mean, if you look at it, because you look where we would rank defensively, even like ninth in scoring, you know, when you're giving up 19, 20 points, man, this day and age, you should win those type of games for sure. But we were one before last with minus 11 in that turnover margin. That has to change, too. I mean, don't you think, like, going forward, because I think you build upon, okay, like, maybe you plus one, or then maybe when September finishes, we plus four or five instead of a minus four or something.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you look at last year, and, I mean, again, you can't just say continuity is going to keep up with this defense because it changes, and you got some moving parts of pizza, new coaches and stuff. But, I mean, you look at last year, those last eight games, this team allowed 20 points or less in the final eight, and they won half of them, right? So I think some of that does fall on the offense, but when the defense needed to create a stop or get a turnover, it just wasn't there. And I think, obviously, you put a lot of emphasis, and you hear guys like Cam Jordan talk about, let's put it on the defense. We want to do this, and we need to do that and such. I think, again, that pass rush is going to be so important for this team this year, just to find it wherever they can. I mean, guys like Peyton Turner, this is put up or shut up type of year for him. The guys like, you know, you drafted Brian Brisset, Isaiah Foskey, guys that are going to affect the defensive line. I just feel like, you know, there and on the edge, they can be pretty good. They just got to be there and be present and be able to force a lot of that, you know, hurry up with some of the quarterbacks. But it's also going to be a nightmare because you look at some of the quarterbacks that they play this year, a lot of dual threat quarterbacks, a lot of younger guys. I mean, it can work one of two ways. They can either get, you know, decimated by them, or they can show up and actually do what they're supposed to. But, man, I just think that when you look at it, there are tons of reasons to be optimistic. But you look at it and said, okay, this can be the difference between this team winning the division and then being one and done, or just barely getting in a wild card, or actually being able to make some type of run like we believe they're capable of.
You know, John, I was on Atlanta radio station, and obviously, you know, everybody's in OTAs and they're breaking down how the NFC South is wide open. You know, I was always given a hard time. The NFC East is the NFC Lease. Well, I think the NFC South is the NFC Doubt. I mean, I don't know.
Or beyond doubt.
No, you might win the division, but what does that mean? But at least you won the division. And we were throwing out there, so what if just one player Because the Falcons think they've upgraded their roster. So what if you put, in theory, now this we can live in the fantasy world, what if you put Derek Carr in Atlanta and Desmond Ridder with the Saints? I think the perception might be that Atlanta might have the advantage because they have Derek Carr and we got Desmond Ridder.
Oh, no, no question. I mean, I think that's the biggest question mark I have with the Falcons is that you've upgraded a lot of talent, but if you don't have it with Desmond Ridder, and look, you know, if he doesn't do what they think he's capable of doing, you know, really early on, they're going to switch to Taylor Heineke.
Right.
I mean, you're going to have a quarterback controversy, I guess, if you will. And so, and I don't know if I'm convinced that Ridder is going to be your day one starter just because Heineke has proven that he can do some things, you know, when given a chance. And so this is something I'd watch out for. But look, I know Atlanta's got a lot of talent. They're better than what I think people are giving them credit for. I think they're a legitimate contender with the Saints, but right now with the Saints and their weapons and everything they have as far as their outlook, I've got to pick them in the NFC South, but all you have to do is get to the dance, right? And it doesn't matter how you get there, just get there. You could be 7-9-1, you could be, you know, 10-7, whatever. It doesn't matter. Just get to the playoffs and then let's go from there.
One of the things I think we always look at rookies, and it's hard to tell because a couple of the picks, one in particular, Kendra Miller, he's not been on the field. He's still rehabbing from the MCL. And it's hard to tell linemen in any of these pajamas and slippers things, to be honest with you. But, man, who's really caught my eye, John, is Jordan, the safety from Minnesota. He knows what he's doing on every play, and he's smooth in coverage. And I really liked what he has shown from the first week we saw it. We talked about it here on Sports Talk. And also to Merriweather, the big thunder back from Massachusetts.
From UMass, yeah.
Has there been anybody that has really caught your eye? Because to me, Dowden and Merriweather, they've shown a big A.T. Perry. Man, what? For every one catch he makes, there's two drops. He's been a bit of disappointment. Sal Devery, he had the calf injury, so you can't really say one way or another with that. And with the two big linemen, okay, you're not really doing a lot in these drills to look at it, and Miller hasn't been on the field. Which rookie or free agent has sort of stood out to you, and would it be Jordan for you?
I mean, I definitely like Jordan Howden. And look, I think that's the biggest thing is that when you see, I mean, again, he comes from Minnesota and he's a guy that just did everything that he was supposed to. Just kind of one of those blue collar, puts his nose down, does what he needs to, but he's really intelligent. He can play in the box. He can play in the slot. He can do a lot of different things for the defense. And that's kind of one of the things where I remember talking with him, you know, coming out when they gave us access to him after the draft. And that's one of the things is that, you know, look, he didn't really say, you know, he didn't want to play special teams. He didn't want to do some of this stuff originally, but he did because it was what's best for the team. And then you saw how good he was at a lot of those. And so, look, I think you've hit it on the head that A.T. Perry is one, I think, that we're all excited about. And look, yesterday, tough, you throw a couple fade routes. He's just not able to make those contested catches yet. And I think it'll come in time. But, you know, of the rookies, it's got to be Howden. I do like Jake Taylor. I like the confidence that he's playing with. I feel like he's leaps and bounds better than what Ian Book was ever. But if you're looking at any rookie that's made an impact, I think it's Howden and other guys like that. As far as free agents go, I mean, it's tough other than Derek Carr. I mean, I think he's got to be, you know, number one as far as who's made the most impact so far in these OTAs.
But wouldn't you say Juwan Johnson has made the biggest jump?
Oh, yeah, he looks legit.
I said that last year about Caden Ellis. You could see it early in the OTAs. His ability to get off the line was quicker, how he dropped back in coverage. You could sort of see that. He was a different player. I see the same thing with Juwan Johnson. Okay, he's made the kind of transition from split end now to that flex tight end. He is so smooth.
He looks confident.
John, did you see him drop a pass in the OTAs we had a chance to watch?
No.
He caught everything.
Yeah, look, I actually looked at it. So I wrote about this earlier. And look, Juwan Johnson's one. I think him and Shaheed have been playing most confident. They both caught all four of their targets that they've had in OTAs. Olave only missed one, and that was because they were just a little bit out of timing. But, look, I think there's something to be said. And what I appreciate and like most about Juwan Johnson is you're seeing a lot more of the route tree with him. So it's not just a one-cut thing or something small out in the flats or anything like that. This is a guy that's getting up the seam. He's running curl routes. He's making these awesome catches. I mean, this is a guy where, again, you know, Derek Carr jokes. He's like, it's kind of hard not to see Darren Waller there. And I think he's in for such a huge, huge season. And they don't need him to be this crazy player. Just be a strong contesting guy and make plays in the red zone when it counts, help move the sticks, and then, you know, rest to take care of itself. But he's playing with a lot of confidence right now.
Sean, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah,
Last one.
John, you know who, to me, you talk about rookie guys who have stood out, you know, like A.T. Perry, we want him to have success. But I think given the opportunity, I think the rookie from Montana, Malik Flowers, you know, basically 6'2", 205, he looks like he's playing with a lot of confidence, and he just got here. I mean, he looks more like the draft pick. Than Perry, right.
Well, one thing I picked up on, it was interesting when they were doing team drills in red zone, Malik Flowers on a jet sweep. I mean, it was reminiscent of what Rashid Shaheed was doing. I mean, so I think that stuff are things you want to see. And look, on this team, I will just say that there's only three spots that I would consider a lock on this team as far as at the wide receiver position, and that's Thomas, Olave, and Shaheed. And, of course, we're assuming that Thomas is healthy. But, you know, outside of that, I think there's some battles to be had, and I feel like that's the thing you want. You've got the guys like Traquan Smith that are still, you know, who Dennis Allen said is healthy now, and then, you know, got Keith Kirkland, other guys. But, man, you're right. Flowers is one that is probably quietly under the radar that I think can push this team and push the depth chart.
John, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate it. You do a great job, buddy. Keep it up.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, guys.
All righty. John Hendricks, lead writer for Sports Illustrated, also for Boot Crew Media.